So we have to understand the meaning of Dhamma practice here is to have mindfulness. So we do walking meditation, boot with the right foot, toe with the left foot, or we can start with the left foot as well, boot and then toe. We can also do it while sitting, lifting our hand boot and putting down the hand toe. And so the meaning is to have mindfulness. If we sit for a long time, sometimes our body just can't take it anymore. So we can change the posture, do walking. And we walk in a way that's just right, not too fast, not too slow, but to have mindfulness with the walking. So during the day when we're at work, doing work, we walk with mindfulness, establish mindfulness with the walking. We manage our mindfulness so that it's at a good level, make our mindfulness good. It's possible that some kind of danger arises during the day or in our life, and it can be quite chaotic. But for a Dhamma practitioner, they have care to keep the mind with butoh so that the mind is not wavering and not agitated. Sometimes if there is a strong fear, there's a danger arising, and wisdom isn't able to arise because the mind is too fearful. So we establish mindfulness well with Bhutto, the knowing one, the awakened one, the joyful one, and we have care as well. And in this way, we're able to attend to and address whatever situation we're in. So in daily life, we strive to have a lot of mindfulness and to have a sense of care and circumspection as well. Because if we're just only with Bhutto and we're not aware of our surroundings, it could be dangerous for us. So we maintain awareness of our environment so that we don't encounter any danger or risk. And so the goal of this practice is to be aware of oneself, to have mindfulness.
Venerable Ajahn Anand, dear monks and friends of Sangha, my name is Guliano, born in Italy, but currently live in Thailand. Thank you for the opportunity, the sharing, and the active support you give us every day of this retreat. After meditating for several years independently, but without any precise purpose, and without any guide with limited results. Now for 5 to 6 years, meditated in a more constant way and became interested in Dhamma every day. Until last year, I came to practice trying PT or intensive joy. Now this sudden joy has almost disappeared, but more stable and rewarding peace. Is this the correct way?
So in this practice of samadhi, bringing the mind to peace and collectedness, so we can establish the mind knowing the breath as it goes in and out with mindfulness. And we strive to make mindfulness continuous, to reduce the thinking in the mind, to bring more clarity to the mind, to make the mindfulness more clear. And this way we can have this fullness of heart arise. And this is samadhi to one level. So we do this until we're proficient in it. We can recollect the Buddha, or the Dhamma Sangha, or the breath. We make the mind still. And then in this way, this sense of coolness can arise, rapture. And we can feel this coolness at various points in the body. We can even feel cool for a whole hour. This is the mind gathering together to a certain degree. If the mind gathers together a lot, then it can become quite firm, even more gathered. And this is what we call sukha. It's a quality of happiness or bliss. It's a firm stability. And this proliferation of mind reduces. So what you describe in your question, you have this fullness, this happiness. This is the arising of peace and samadhi. And then this can happen for a time and then it goes away. So you keep doing this, do this often. Sometimes it's just a little bit of rapture, happiness. And we bring the mind to the sukha, more of like firmness and stillness. And what you can observe there is that the thoughts reduce. If there's a lot of sukha, a lot of happiness, and then then that experience of sukha passes away again, then the thoughts and proliferation start to arise again. So you contemplate right there. Contemplate that peace that you've experienced, and you use that as your foundation to give rise to wisdom. So you contemplate all material phenomena, all immaterial phenomena, like your thoughts, which is a non-material phenomena. You contemplate all of that as arising and ceasing. This is vipassana. In this way, wisdom arises bit by bit. This is the right way. So you bring the mind to have rapture and peace. The mind is still. Proliferation reduces. This is correct. Then once you start to think and proliferate again, the rapture fades. This means the samadhi is reducing. So at that point, make effort to gather your mindfulness, to increase, to watch the breath go in and out, or recite Bhutto. This way you can give rise to rapture again, and sukha, happiness again. So may you do this without growing weary of it. Keep doing it to the point of proficiency.
Thank you, Longpa, for the explanation on the contemplation of the body in the morning's Dhamma talk of March 26th. Can Longpa further explain how to practice the contemplation on Vedana, Citta, and Dhammas in the four foundations of mindfulness? Which one of them is suitable for our laity to practice, and why is it so? Thank you very much, Longpa, and all the members of Sangha for giving us the guidance and motivation to train our minds.
So this is about the foundations of mindfulness. So we have mindfulness in terms of the body, in terms of feeling, in terms of the mind and dhammas. So in terms of bodily mindfulness, it's been explained already. So when we move the body, we have mindfulness. And we also see in our daily life, each country in the world can have some differences. So we have to be careful about that. Like if we walk too slow, sometimes that's not suitable. And there's one monk who was walking alms round, and he was walking slowly, not looking at the surroundings very much. And he ended up going in the wrong direction. So this is not correct. One needs to have care and circumspection. You can also see the body in terms of four natural elements, earth, air, fire, and water. To see it as asubha, not beautiful. To see it in terms of the 32 parts. So this is all about the body, to bring the mind to peace and collectedness, to samadhi. This is using the body as the foundation of recollection, to bring the mind to peace, to see that the body is just a body, not a me, mine, you or yours, not a self. In this way, wisdom can arise. So in terms of vedana, or feeling tone, this is feeling pleasure or pain, or neither pleasure nor pain. So if the mind has sufficient strength and energy, then we're able to look at feeling tone, look at vedana. We're able to see it, to see the pleasant, the unpleasant, the neutral, have mindfulness to know it. We can see the pleasant feeling arises, or unpleasant feeling arises, neutral feeling arises. And all of them, they arise, stay for a little while, and pass away. So we have mindfulness with this, to see the feelings, tone as it arises, stays for a little while, and ceases. In this way, the mind can separate out from the feeling tone. Samadhi can arise. So we do this, we practice like this. And if there's a lot of unpleasant feeling, a lot of pain, we have mindfulness to know that it's uncertain. It arises, stays for a little while, and ceases. So we're not lost in it, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So we train the mind like this, to see pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, to see it clearly. This is vipassana. Sometimes the body's cold, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's hungry. So we see these feelings arise and cease. We have mindfulness to know it. Sometimes we sit and the body experiences pain. So we patiently endure that first, contemplate that feeling that's arising. If the mind has sufficient strength and energy, it can separate out from that painful feeling. Sometimes if the painful feeling is a lot, then we can't separate out from it. So at that point, we can back off from it. Don't torture oneself too much. One has to assess one's ability, one's capacity, and one's strength to see is the strength of mindfulness and samadhi sufficient? Is one able to put up a fight? And then if one is able to, then one can overcome that feeling, and then one overcomes that suffering. But if one can't overcome it, then suffering arises. And you can also use medicine to treat the body. If there's a lot of pain in the body, sometimes the bodily system receives this pain, the nervous system receives the pain. And so we can treat the body, we can back off from that. So this is in terms of bodily feeling. So we contemplate the feeling to see that the feeling is just a feeling. The pleasant is just the pleasant, unpleasant is just unpleasant, neutral is just the neutral. So we have mindfulness with this. We establish mindfulness well in the mind. So in terms of the mind, the jitta, as the another foundation of mindfulness, we keep a watch over the mind, whether we're sitting, standing, walking, or lying down, to see where is the mind thinking off to. Is it thinking in terms of wholesome or unwholesome? What's the mind proliferating about? Is the mind having rapture or fullness, happiness or suffering? So we see what kind of state the mind is in. So we see that thoughts are just thoughts. We see if the mind has greed or lust or not, if it has aversion or not, delusion or not. And we see that these are just feelings, these are just states that arise. So we watch them, we contemplate them. And so we practice like this to see it as uncertain. None of these states last, whether it's liking or disliking, greed, aversion, or delusion. They all arise and cease. None of them last. None of them are self. They're all ownerless. So if we have mindfulness and wisdom, we can separate out from these states. See that these phenomena, these states enter the mind clings to them as me, as mine, as self. So we have to have a lot of care with regard to this. And also to keep a watch over the mind like this, the mind needs sufficient strength and energy, needs a lot of samadhi to really know the mind, to see as greed arises. And if greed arises and we're not able to fight against it, then we come back to contemplate asubha, the not beautiful. If the mind has aversion or anger, we bring up the four divine abidings, the four Brahma Viharas. So we take care of the mind to keep the mind in the middle. If the mind has a lot of delusion, then we contemplate death, see that the body must fall apart. In this way, the mind can give rise to peace and samadhi. So we keep a watch over the mind, see what kind of state the mind is in. Whatever it is, we see that it arises, stays for a little while, and ceases. So the mind needs a lot of samadhi, a lot of stillness, to be able to see this, to see the proliferation of mind. Because whatever the mind's proliferating about, the sense of self arises right there. So sometimes we might have enough peace to do this, and if we don't have sufficient samadhi, then we can come back to look at the body to give rise to happiness and fullness of heart. Sometimes one might think, oh, the body's quite coarse. I have enough wisdom to just look at the mind directly, and I can see the Dhamma like this. But this is a delusion. The samadhi's not that deep. So we need to come back and look at the body to see it clearly, in order to see the body as not self, to bring the mind to have this firm, stable samadhi. And if the mind really has truly firm and stable samadhi, the mind is able to succeed and realize the Dhamma by observing the mind directly, to see that the mind is just the mind. In terms of the contemplating Dhammas as a foundation of mindfulness, this is too subtle, because everything is Dhamma. Anger is just anger. It's all empty. It's all not self. It's all ownerless. But our samadhi and wisdom isn't to that level. So we come back to contemplate the body first as our important foundation. And as a layperson, one can contemplate any of these aspects. It just depends on the strength and energy of your mind. If you have a lot of strength and energy, you can contemplate vedana, use the mind. If the energy is not that much, then you look at the body. So you train in this to the point of proficiency. You become proficient in these foundations of the body, feeling, mind, and dhammas.
So the question was, today there was an earthquake in Thailand, and some people had to flee from high buildings, high-rise buildings. There were some laity who ran from 12th story, and the mindfulness was in there. And in the mind, the person just kept repeating, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. Eventually, she thought, or he or she thought, well, if I'm going to die, then why am I running? So the question is, will Longpa run too? And how do we run or escape from such danger with mindfulness? How do we run from high-rise building with mindfulness? Thank you.
So this is normal to have these kind of situations arise. We need to use more mindfulness in this kind of situation, to have mindfulness to know what's happening around us. Because if the mind falls into fear, gets lost in fear, just thinks only to save oneself, makes this effort to run away in a rush, one's running quickly, one's not careful, one can slip or fall downstairs because of this quality of fear, because one's rushing. So in whatever case, one needs to have mindfulness, and one needs to come down from that high place. So one needs to be careful and also not be slow either. So one knows that one should move quickly, but if you move too quickly, then it can create more danger. So you have mindfulness to know that you're not moving slowly, or that it's not appropriate to move slowly. And as you're moving, you know that if you die, you die. There's not anything to it. It's according to karma. So that's one aspect. And you're not heedless either. You recite Bhutto, can bring the mind to stillness and seek a way to safety. So this is vipassana and samatha, clear seeing and tranquility. So you move quickly to come down from a high place. You don't do it slowly, and you do it with mindfulness. It's not that you just walk very slowly, but if you go too fast as well, then that's not good. It's like when you go to a MRT car, like a subway car. So in society, people move quickly. They don't move too slowly in that kind of situation. But you also need to be careful so that you don't create more danger. So you have this kind of awareness and mindfulness with your bodily movements. So there is one monastic, one disciple in Bangkok, in a building, a condominium. And at that time, which was earlier today, the earthquake happened. And so there was some fear arose, everything was shaking. And so this disciple entered samadhi, reciting Bhutto, making the mind still. And then they assessed the situation. And they saw that the shaking didn't continue, that the building stopped moving. So they had established their mindfulness, brought their mind to stillness. And they saw that, well, if the situation worsened or continued to be bad, then they would move quickly to move away from danger. But they assessed the situation, saw that the building stopped moving. And so the situation was okay at that point. So when we recite the blessing now, we can all spread loving kindness to anyone trapped in wreckage or trapped in a building at this time because of the earthquake. May they all be safe. May they all be well. There's one place with maybe about 100 people that got trapped or affected. So may they be free from suffering. May all the merit and parami that we've built all the way from the past up until today, may that help them to be well and safe.